Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We talk to her every Wednesday. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It is Wednesday, and Gidi and I have been discussing for the last few Wednesdays about common moods and how to differentiate whether or not these moods are appropriate or inappropriate. And she's broken them down into four: glad, sad, mad, and bad. We're going to quickly regroup, restructure these. And this will help, I think, people determine whether or not they might have an issue. Not necessarily an issue in which you need to go see a counselor, but maybe one that you maybe at least talk to your pastor, your minister, talk to your family member, somebody you trust that might be able to help you put these thoughts together in a proper fashion. Or perhaps maybe do need to see a counselor or a life coach. Welcome to the show, Gidi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, just real quickly, good reasons for feeling glad and mad. Glad, we kind of talked about,
Something good happens,
you should feel glad. But there's some people who don't feel good when something good happens, and that's something to be concerned about, too. You get good news and you're not excited about it, you should be excited.
Yeah.
Glad, sad, somebody, you lose a loved one, you lose a job, something terrible happens. Nothing wrong with feeling sad. Jesus felt sad.
That's right.
But if you feel sad over some good news,
then something's wrong.
Yeah, that seems odd to me.
Yeah,
that of all the ones, that's the one that seems the strangest to me. You know, you get a promotion, something good happens, you feel like you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You're sad. Oh, it's more pressure for me.
Yeah, more responsibility.
More responsibility. I can't handle
I'm
this.
I'm gonna fail.
Fears of inadequacy.
Yeah.
So feeling sad over good news is something to be concerning. Good reasons for feeling mad. I think we discussed that. Most people know that.
Yes.
If you're mad because Jesus was mad at the temple.
Right. Injustice.
Justice.
Yeah.
Sure. But if you're mad for other reasons, maybe.
Or if you hold on to the anger too long.
That's right.
Then it can become very destructive.
The one that was interesting, though, is good reasons for feeling bad. And I think we kind of agreed in last week that the word bad, we use the word maybe guilt as much as bad.
Well, that's
bad.
An example. Yeah, when we feel guilty, it doesn't feel good, but
we feel bad.
It can lead to repentance, which is a good thing. And we were in the middle of the discussion of God has forgiven me, but why can't I forgive myself?
And I remember confessing last week. It's been a week now, but I still remember having said that. That's one of the things I have difficulty with.
Yeah,
is that
a lot of people do.
How can I forgive myself? How can I forgive myself? God forgives me, but I have a hard time because I think it's because we all know we're going to sin again anyway. I mean, if you're a Christian, you know that we are bound by sin. That we could try not to. But even our best efforts, no matter what, we know that we are going to fall short.
Well, let me share this concept with you, Jerry. Hmm. We know we're going to sin again, but which direction are we going? Are we on a slow grade spiral going up when we're sinning again? Or in other words, are we generally getting better and closer to God, even though we sin from time to time? Or are we on a spiral going down and getting farther and farther away from God? I think the way we need to phrase this is, which direction am I going when I am sinning?
Mm-hmm.
Am I still going towards God and I stumble and fall? And again, the proverb says the righteous man stumbles and falls 7 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I going? What was my intention? What was my heart's desire? Or is my heart's desire to get farther away from God and to sink into my sin?
Mm-hmm.
So God weighs that out. He looks at that, and we need to look at that too.
Okay. So even though we know we are going to sin, it's the desire to not sin and actually try to fight off the temptation
and resist the temptation. Better with the help of God. If we have faith, if we believe the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and He is changing us from glory into glory and He's transforming us, if we believe that, it will happen. Now, we won't reach perfection in this life, but we'll be a whole lot better than we were when we started.
See, this is where the preacher in me comes out, because I don't know how anybody can go their life without having that element in their life, of God in their life.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to battle these temptations and these urges that you know are wrong, even though you might not believe in sin, you know that they're destructive. If you don't have that idea of spiraling up as opposed to spiraling down,
right,
with a goal of reaching, you know, getting to heaven, it seems to me a person can get lost very easily.
We all started out that way.
Uh-huh.
So it's, but remember, God interrupts that lostness and works to draw people to himself. And he uses you and me to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else we wanted to talk about this, or because we're going
to continue? Well, I just want to talk to listeners and say, if you are having trouble forgiving yourself, just realize you are committing idolatry.
Mm.
You are putting yourself in the place of God. And sometimes we just need to humble ourselves before him and say, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't deserve it. But isn't that what grace really is?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to receive it by faith.
Yeah.
And take out of me whatever is resisting your grace.
You know, atheists, I've had atheists on the show, and they'll say, well, it's just so easy. All you do is you just go and you just ask for forgiveness, and you keep committing the same sins over and over again. So it's just a joke, is what they would say. But, you know, you respond by saying, God knows what's in your heart.
Yeah.
He knows whether or not you truly want to stop sinning or whether or not you're just playing the game.
Yeah, and part of there's some truth to what the atheist is saying, because the American church is so carnal.
Uh-huh.
In other countries, in persecuted countries, there's a sharp divide between believers and unbelievers by the way they live.
Uh-huh.
I know a break is coming up. I want to come back to this topic after.
I think we should. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you're looking for professional counseling, life coaching, to learn more about yourself and your family, if you have issues you want to deal with, family relationships, maybe personal demons that you want to try to deal with, give them a call. Gidi's number, Growing Place, 588-0448. We'll be back right after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
All right, coming up this Saturday, June 6th, Coping with Depression. It's a part of a 12-week life skills study at The Growing Place. It started actually a few weeks ago. It's the first and third Saturday of every month, and coming up on June 6th, Coping with Depression. It'll feature Dr. Chris Thurman, and Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place is here. I know these are
workshops, mm-hmm, using DVDs, or with a live facilitator to answer questions.
And then the following 2 weeks, on June 20th, there'll be Overcoming Anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole list of them. We encourage you to go to The Growing Place's website, which is www.tgplace.com. That would be T for the, G for growing, place, place.com, tgplace.com, to find out more about The Growing Place. And again, June 6th, this Saturday, Coping with Depression, 10 o'clock in the morning to 11:30 over at The Growing Place, which happens to be at 1074 East Avenue. We were finishing up we got into a pretty deep discussion.
Yeah.
We weren't planning on doing that, but sometimes it just comes out to be interesting. Tell me, what were you following?
Well, we were talking about why the atheist would say, you know, it's a joke, you Christians.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I am aware of persecuted churches around the world. I'm in touch with some of these.
Uh-huh.
Fine people. And in persecuted and closed countries, there's a sharp delineation between the lifestyle of the Christian and somebody who's living in the world. There is not in America. There is not that level of holiness in America that we see in other places.
Give me a place, an example.
Well, I can tell you about my homeland in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
people there are willing to die for the privilege of gathering with other Christians to pray together. So are they going to give in to the sins that we so easily give into here? They're already ready to die and be, you know, be tortured and be thrown into prison perhaps for the rest of their lives. So are they going to be so willing to divorce, to have an abortion? The reason I mentioned those two is there's no difference in the abortion or divorce rate between the church and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been the norm. This has been the practice for decades.
It's something I think that all of us have thought about as Christians. If the persecution that's going on around the world were to come to the United States, how many would literally put their necks on the line to say, you know what, I'll die for my Savior and for and not deny him? And that's a scary, scary thought. That is probably the most scariest thought that I come across, because I fear I would be Peter. I fear I would deny, because we forget that Jesus and that Peter was not just threatened with, his life was on the line. I think people think that, oh, well, Peter denied Jesus, big deal. I don't know about it. Because if he had said he knew him, his life may have been in jeopardy.
Yeah, and eventually he was crucified.
Eventually he was.
Yeah.
But, I think we all think that. So, that's a scary, scary thing to think.
So what I would like to challenge myself and you and the listeners with is, do we need the threat of death to live a holy life?
Uh-huh.
Can we choose to live a holy life with imperfections? Granted, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a perfect life.
Yeah.
Can I control my tongue better? Can I control my eating better?
Mm-hmm.
Can I control my negative thoughts about people better?
Yeah.
With God's grace, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. And I need to be a witness in the marketplace, in the world place, in the school, at work, wherever I am. I need to let my light shine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just this idea, well, I'm just going to slip into heaven and get in by the skin of my teeth, and who cares what happens to anybody else? Yeah. Is such a shallow Christian life.
Uh-huh.
There's no joy in that.
Right. But at the same time, Gidi, I know we need to be careful that we don't go under the false belief. And so there's different beliefs. I don't think maybe the Catholic Church might disagree with me. My belief system is, you know, grace and, you know, salvation is reached by grace and faith. Those are the only two requirements, grace and faith. Good works don't enter the equation.
And I totally agree, and it's also the view of the whole church. Okay. But let me tell you this. If you have grace and faith, the good works will follow.
Yes, yes.
That's what James talks about.
Mm-hmm.
He says, faith without works is dead. In other words, faith that is not put into action is not real faith.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have the grace, we have the faith, so why aren't we producing the fruit?
Right. Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I know for the, you know, Pastor Donald Jordan of our Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, he listens a lot, and we sometimes discuss that all the time, is that where does good works enter the equation? It should be a product of the equation.
Exactly.
Faith
it's not
plus
me
grace
to,
equals salvation.
It's not me trying to pull myself up by my bootstraps and live a holy life, because then I become a Pharisee and it's not even holy.
Yeah, look what I've done, therefore I make it to heaven. You can't earn your
way to
heaven.
No. I'm talking about real Christians. I'm talking to the real Christians out there who have the faith and have the grace. Where's the fruit?
Right. Well, we kind of deviated a little bit from our topic, but I think it was important to discuss this.
Well, yeah, because if I'm feeling bad because I'm a mediocre Christian, I should feel bad.
Yeah.
And I need to repent, and I need to get on the right path. But if I'm laying perfectionist trips on myself and saying, you know, I sinned today, I'm going to hell, I'm a terrible person, then that would be an inappropriate reason for feeling bad. That would be that I don't even understand my relationship with God.
Yeah. Perfect time. We have a break right now. We have one more segment with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Again, if we always give the number going into every break, professional counseling, life coaching, education. The Growing Place number, 588-0448. We'll be right back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Welcome back to the show. Interesting discussion with Gidi Hansen. It's amazing how when we talk about things in an issue of, I guess, psychology or counseling, somehow you and I in particular, and I think probably most Christians, somehow bring Christ back into the fold. You know, it's not like we can just have a discussion. I mean, if you're talking, you know, sports or baseball or something, you can talk without mentioning Jesus' name. I mean, you could talk about who's the best college football team in the country and not have to mention theology. But when you're talking about something involving the mind and moods and feelings, you can't really, if you're a person of faith, you can't really have a serious discussion on it without mentioning Christ. I find that's impossible for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that, I mean, to me, it's interesting, but I know that it's different because at The Growing Place, you do help people who don't have faith.
Right. We still know how to help people without bringing in any faith-based interventions.
And I think that's important to mention because The Growing Place, while it does have a Christian base to it, does not necessarily have to serve only those people who have a faith.
Not at all. And we also do not proselytize.
Exactly.
Because that's unethical.
But I do that on this show.
And you're under a different discipline than we are.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. But so I know you're probably reluctant to go there with me on that. But for me anyway, and I would imagine a lot of people who you deal with who come into your place might probably does Jesus come up a lot when you're talking to people?
Well, I can't speak for the other counselors because I don't know who they're seeing or the life coaches. Uh-huh. But I know for myself, most of my clients are Christians.
Uh-huh.
And they do want to pray and they do want to bring the Bible and Christ and God into it.
Uh-huh.
And we do.
Yeah. Okay. We only have a few more minutes left in this segment.
Well, I just wanted to kind of give a preview of our next show of what happens when we get stuck in a mood. Okay, we talked about the moods of glad, sad, mad, and bad. And sometimes we get stuck in a mood. Maybe a life event is really hard to process, and we get stuck. Like if a loved one, God forbid, dies, or you get news of cancer for yourself or someone close to you, or news of a car accident, or news that you just got fired. Mm-hmm. And we can get stuck in one of these places, or God forbid, you news that your spouse is committing adultery, and you can't just shake yourself out of a mood real fast when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, when people say, well, just get over it, move on, those are tough words. You don't like to hear those words.
No, and very often it brings up the underlying really core issues in a person, rejection, abandonment, survival fears. Uh-huh. How am I going to live without a job?
Right.
What am I going to do? I got these people dependent on me.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen here? So in those cases, you can get really stuck in a mood.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to talk about, I think, for the next week or two.
When you talk to clients and who come into your place, and without giving any detailed information, of those four we talked about, what is the most prevalent of the four where people feel glad, sad, mad, or bad for the wrong reasons? I'm going to guess it's sad or mad, because I'm guessing those would be the two, because sad would be depressed.
Yes.
Getting mad would be anger management.
Yeah.
And
bad could be anxiety, and a lot of my clients have anxiety.
I find it hard to believe. I still have a hard time understanding people, and I could see what you're saying, not feeling glad for a reason. Something good happens and they don't feel glad. That would be troublesome to me. That would be, I have such good news, but I'm not feeling good about it.
Well, you know, think of 1984. Or Brave New World. Remember that scene in the beginning of Brave New World where the babies are going towards the bright, beautiful flowers, and then they hit an electrical shock thing, and they're conditioned from when they're really young not to like beauty.
Oh.
And not. So sometimes people get conditioned by an abusive parent mm-hmm. that if you're happy, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
So they learn how not to be happy, or they learn how not to express their joy, because they don't want to get the whooping. They
That's
don't want to get, you know, the punishment. So that would be a case I can think of therapeutically where people learn how not to be happy, not to be glad when they should be glad.
Well, we are going to talk more of next Wednesday about getting stuck in moods and how people get stuck in them. But I think to wrap up this show, I do want to talk a little bit about your Courageous Living DVD series over at the Growing Place.
Yes.
And
it's put out by the Association of Christian, the American Association of Christian Counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole series of DVD teachings by MDs and PhDs. And these are people who are clinicians who have been in the field, they're not just ivory tower teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones out there doing it. And they present all these topics that you have in front of you from a Christian biblical perspective on how to help clients.
You know, I talked about this once before. I was under the belief that you don't need counseling, you don't need medication.
I was too.
Yeah, all you need is a good dose of the Holy Spirit, and bingo, right. bango, everything
right.
is fine. And you know, and that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I have the Holy Spirit, so Holy Spirit, please fill this rotten tooth and cavity in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I have a flat tire. Lord God, just inflate this tire and give me a yeah. brand new one in Jesus'
yeah.
name.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. The Growing Place. Their next one is Coping with Depression, June 6th, beginning at 10 o'clock on Saturday, June 6th to 11:30. Coping with Depression or The Growing Place are located at 1074 East Avenue. You can also go to their website, tgplace.com, or give Gidi a call, 588-0448. Gidi, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, have a good day. So long, everybody.